Welcome to the Real Turf Techs Podcast, for the technician that wants to get real. Follow along as we talk to industry professionals and address hot topics that we all face. Along the way, we'll learn tips and tricks. I'm your host, Trent Manning. Let's have some fun. This episode of Real Turf Techs on Golf Course Industries Superintendent Radio Network is presented by Foley Company, a strong supporter of equipment technicians and golf course maintenance departments everywhere. Foley Company offers a proven solution for above and below the turf for turf professionals everywhere. To learn more about Foley Company's line of reel grinders, bed knife grinders, and the Air2 G2 family of products, or to find a distributor, visit www.foleyco.com. Foley, ready for play. Welcome to the Real Turf Techs Podcast, episode 99. I hope you're as excited as I am about episode 100. We have a big surprise in store for you. But today we're talking to Jordan Roth, equipment manager at Champions Run in Omaha, Nebraska. Jordan also wrenches for Eagle Run Golf Course, which is a public executive 18-hole facility under the same ownership. Champions Run is an 18-hole private club in the city of Omaha, Nebraska. Jordan is the sole tech during the growing season. However, in the off-season, he has a part-time assistant that is amazing to have, with a wealth of knowledge that they found internally. Bob is a retired welder from a local power company. He mows during the growing season and helps out in the shop in the winter. Jordan has a mixed fleet of equipment. Let's talk to Jordan. Welcome, Jordan, to the Real Turf Techs Podcast. How you doing today?
Doing good, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Tell us how you got into the turf industry.
I got out of high school and I thought I wanted to be a golf pro. So I went into the Pro Golf Management Program down in Mississippi State. Realized very quickly I did not fit in with that crowd very well. Spent a couple of years taking some general study classes and ended up getting a turf grass management degree from a local community college in Beatrice, Nebraska. That got me onto the Harvester Golf Course in Iowa, where I was an intern and took over their shop for the most part as an intern. They just fired their mechanic, or he quit. I don't remember. Don't quote me on that.
But yeah.
They didn't have anybody, and I'd worked at the local country club in Seward, Nebraska for a couple of years. And if you ran something, you maintained it. So, I mean, they had us grinding bed knives, back lapping reels.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Doing basic preventative maintenance things on rain days. And I was probably 50% dangerous, you know, didn't really have a good idea what was going on. Didn't know that it would lead into the career that I have now. But it just kind of happened and it worked out. Hit up a few other spots along the way, a couple golf courses, worked for a dealership for 3.5 years. And now I'm over here at Champions Run in Omaha and very happy to be here.
Awesome. No, that's so good. When you were doing the PGA thing, did they teach you how to fold shirts?
No, I missed that class.
Okay.
I think that came in year two. I could ask if it was left shoulder first or right shoulder first.
No. I always give the guys in the pro shop a hard time. Like, don't you have some, every time they come to bug me about, you know, fixing the picker or something, like, don't you have some shirts to go fold or something?
Yeah. All those pickers, they always break on Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, don't they?
Every time. Yep. It's Murphy's Law, or Saturday morning when I'm about to leave, 10 o'clock or something. Hey, yep. Could you look at the picker? Yeah, maybe Monday. I'll be happy to look at it.
Now, so I got a little relationship and a little respect for those guys after doing that side of things. So,
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, we all have a common goal, really, is, you know, to make that experience for membership or daily fee people or, you know, whoever's playing your course. So we're all in it together, but I tell a lot of people this, and especially my kids, that's the way I show my love if I pick on you. So if I give you a hard time, that means I like you.
Well, if that's the case, I think everybody loves everybody at my shop. There's a whole lot of crap that flies around the air around here. It's fun.
No, it keeps it fun. It does. And I remember J.R. Wilson up at NOYAC, he was saying he's a volunteer firefighter. And actually, he just made like assistant chief, I think, this past Monday, which congratulations to him. But he was saying at the firehouse, you know, they're just totally ripping each other all the time. And if somebody like comes into the room late and it gets quiet, you better watch out because they don't like you for whatever reason. Because, I mean, that's the way they show their love to, just ripping on each other all the time. What's your least favorite part of the job and why is it sand?
I honestly laughed out loud when I read that question. I've listened to not every podcast, but a couple of them along the way as I'm heading to and from work. I don't know if I necessarily hate sand.
No, that's okay. It's okay.
I understand why we have to do it from an agronomic standpoint. And I don't mind it. My boss kind of thought I was crazy here at Champions. Greg is my director of agronomy. First time we went out and top dressed fairways, I'm like, hey, dude, is that it? It looks kind of light. Can we put a little more down? Do you think we could put more down? And he goes, no, we're good. We're good.
Yeah. That's
so, funny. No, I really don't have a part of the job I don't like. I like the variety of it, like dealing with people and like equipment. So,
Yeah, no, I'm with you. What's your favorite tool?
I really like my air hammer. It clears out the shop pretty well. You make enough noise, people start scattering.
Yep.
Just picked up a set of Wera screwdrivers, or like a German-made screwdriver. I like the tips on them. They seem to be pretty decent so far. We'll see how long they last, but I'm going to give you a third one just for fun. I picked up a hydraulic cable, battery connector cable crimper from everybody's favorite store, Harbor Freight. That has been really handy for, you know, like infield fixes or somewhere where you don't want to light a machine on fire.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. No, that's a good one. Yeah, real good one. And I don't know. I kind of think the air hammer is underutilized.
It can shake some things loose. I've been in some tight spaces on large hydraulic fittings where we're talking, you know, inch and a half size fittings. And, you know, I've been able to wiggle some hydraulic fittings loose with just a flat hammer on the air hammer and just kind of work your way around it counterclockwise. And I don't know if you have any 4500s, the hydraulic deck motor fittings that go onto the bulkheads for the rear. Yeah, you grab those and they just turn that whole bulkhead. Take a little shock with that kind of helps me get them loose pretty quick.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a great idea. And it's something I think earlier in my career in the 90s with the mechanic that taught me a lot of what I know. But we used air hammer all the time. And it just seems like I don't pull it out as much as I used to, but I still use it. Yeah. So good deal. What do you do to relax or find your balance?
I actually enjoy playing golf. Doesn't bother me to go stare at the other side of the facility and see it from the another point of view. I usually get out every Monday night and play golf with my dad in a league at a local golf course. And so get to hang out with him for a couple hours. It's a good time. And family-wise, we like to go out and do some camping a couple times throughout the summer, or glamping, not really like pitching.
That's okay.
We go glamping. You know,
yeah, no, it's all right.
Eat a couple pounds of bacon, have a couple beers.
That's good stuff. Yeah. No, and that's awesome that, you're playing golf with your dad, especially. And like when you play your course, how much does that help you do your job?
Well, I actually haven't got a chance to play my course yet. I need to get out and play it. We're allowed to play on Mondays, and Mondays is my golf league with my dad.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
No, superintendent I worked for over in Iowa, he loved to go play the golf course. And his reasoning was, you see it from the seat of the gator all day long, and you get back to the shop at 3 o'clock and you're like, man, I don't know. We got this. We got that. This looks bad. That looks bad. And you go hit the first tee and you see it from a different point of view. You might see something that's out of place as a player versus a manager of the ground. And then you get a good feel as far as the product you're putting out there. So I think it's a good practice if you're able to do so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I remember my DOA back in the 90s. He had a voice recorder. I mean, you know, had the little cassette tape in there. I mean, this was a little while ago. But he would walk the course at least once a month and, you know, make notes of things that need to be addressed or, you know, whatever. And like you're saying, you see it from a whole different perspective when you're walking the course and you're going down all the walk paths, you know, and all those things. What has been your biggest challenge?
I think just starting out first couple months when I started at the dealership, I worked for a Jake dealer here in Omaha, Nebraska. I was a one-man shop. So I was set up new products, pick up and delivery, didn't have a delivery driver, on-site service calls, work in the shop, write your old work order notes. I mean, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
It was busy and, you know, trying to, I kind of had an idea how to prioritize because I understood what we were doing with the products that I was working on, but just having to be the guy that was the go-to guy for my area. You know, guys call the dealership and they're like, oh, heck, the dealership knows. They know everything.
Right. Yeah.
I had to be really good, really quick. It took a little bit and I got comfortable with it. I learned a lot in that job. That was a really good experience.
That's what I wanted to ask. Yeah. How much did you learn in those few years working for a dealer?
Gosh, you know, like the 3.5, whatever years I was there was probably equivalent to 10 to 15 of just turning wrenches at a golf course.
That's what I've always said about my experience working with a Toro distributor for 2 years was at least 10 years on a golf course because it's a new problem every day and it's a challenging problem most of the time.
Yeah, you get the problems that, you know, somebody might not either have the tools to work on or flat out doesn't want to work on it because they're like, there's no Staples easy button here. We can't just flick a switch and make it work right again. So it was a good experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What's the strangest thing you've seen at work?
Oh, I mean, I've seen enough equipment on its side or on its hat and things in the water. Probably the worst one was back to me being at the dealership. I made a lot of friends, you know, guys in the industry are really good people. Back in 2019, Nebraska had some decent flooding up here in the springtime. And of course, about an hour north of here, their superintendent, Jeff, called me and he goes, hey, Jordan, I've got 4 feet of water in my shop. And so his entire 18-hole fleet of equipment up to 4 feet of water. It was tough. I ended up calling the buddy of mine that replaced me at the dealership. I said, hey, Tyler, if you get off work, you can come up here. We need to get through this equipment and try to see if we can, well, see what we can save. And we ended up spending a couple long nights and we were able to save everything and got them back up and going again. It was,
Yeah,
it was pretty
incredible.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all had stuff get wet, but you walk into a shop and you're like, holy crap, there's not a thing in here that's dry. You know, opening up starters, alternators, taking connections apart, flushing fluids.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
As bad as it sounds, it's probably some of the most fun I had. There was four of us in that shop working that night. And man, we were laughing, giggling, having a good time. Somebody brought pizza. I think the superintendent's wife brought cookies down. Lisa makes really good cookies.
Okay. That's good.
So we were well fed and it was good times.
Awesome. That's so good. Do you have a mentor in the industry?
You know, I had to kind of think about that. I didn't really have anybody take me under my wing when I was an intern for Turfgrass. Chad and Joel, the super and the assistant, were really good about being patient and helping me, kind of getting me up to speed on what they wanted. So they kind of really set a pretty good foundation. My old service manager, I'd lean on Don when I didn't know all the answers. He was a good egg, good guy to have in your phone book. So.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's networking. So important.
Absolutely.
And whoever said it, that's not what you know is who you know. This can be very true for sure.
Yep.
What would be your dream job or opportunity?
You know, I got a pretty good job here. I really like it. Yeah.
That's
awesome. We've got, between our golf course, ownership also owns two other facilities here in the area. So Eagle Run is a executive 18-hole golf course that does not have a mechanic. And so I go over there and help Alex out when he needs help. He's good on day-to-day things, but just kind of there as a support feature for him so that we don't have to send anything in for dealership work. And so I enjoy getting over there and helping him out too. And we've got a really good equipment manager at Stone Creek, our other facility. Brandon's awesome. Mm-hmm. He's through level two on the programs.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Good deal.
Pretty proud of him. He was just part-time 3 days a week over at our other sister course, the one that I help out with. And we kind of saw a little talent there. We had an opening and he's done pretty good for himself.
Well, that's great. Yeah. How long has he been doing it?
He had spent about a year, I believe, in Colorado as an assistant technician. Okay. And then came back, worked part-time with us, kind of did a little mowing, did a little wrenching, and been up there at Stone Creek for two and a half years, I think.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good. Yeah, it's so valuable. I'm really fortunate, and I have a few people that work with me, and I mean, I couldn't do it without them. Don't want to do it without them. You know, I'm be honest. Don't want to do it without them.
I know. I got Bob, who helps me in our off season 3 days a week, and he's a godsend. Just a good mechanical mind, and he's a retired welder and steam fitter. So when we get into some fabrication work, he's awesome. You know, I just draw things down on paper. He walks over, he's cutting stuff, deburring, and I'm over here doing something. We come back, meet in the middle, and it just kind of falls together.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Nothing like that. That's awesome. What technician would you like to work with for a day?
I would not be picky. I think it'd be kind of fun to go see somebody manage a larger facility where they might have multiple techs underneath them or multiple courses under one roof, or anywhere in the southern climate. I don't have much experience south of here. You know, we're northern cool season. So getting into the transition zone or even further south would be kind of exciting for a couple of days.
Some of the courses in Florida, that's a whole different level because it's 365.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, grass is growing. Just go, 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 go. You know, at least here in Georgia, we get a little break in northern Georgia anyway. A couple months, everything kind of slows down and you catch your breath and stuff. But these guys and gals in Florida that are just grinding every day.
I know it. I got one of my best friends from Iowa was my golf pro that I worked at when I was at Jester Park, just outside of Des Moines. Kind of a weird relationship between a mechanic and a golf pro, but he was a quirky guy. I'm a quirky guy. We just kind of got along really good. He's down in Florida right now working for Troon. And he's like, Jordy, you don't want none of this. There's no break.
Yeah. That's every time I talk to Skip Hines or something, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and it's December. I'm like, air fine. You know, I mean, just crazy things that we would never think about doing in the middle of winter. Not that they airify in December, but they don't slow down for sure. What do you know now you wish you'd known on day one?
Just kind of remaining calm. You know, just kind of step back, take a breath, move forward. You gotta do something. You can't just do nothing. You gotta fire a couple test bullets and keep moving on, but just don't throw your hands in the air and say the sun's gonna explode, because it probably is. Not today, right? Anyway.
Yeah. Not today. No, that's a really good point. And this is something I wish I would have known when I was younger, to step back, take a breath, and figure it out instead of, you know, jumping to conclusions or assumptions and getting angry, which doesn't, you know, fix anything, makes it worse. So how do you deal with that person on the crew?
We've got a pretty decent crew, and I've had decent crews for the most part everywhere. My kind of go-to thing is when anybody has an issue or, you know, something breaks while they're using it, just always say, hey, thank you. Thank you for telling me. You know, just it'll blow their mind, especially some of the new guys. They're like, why are you saying thank you? I totally just gave you 4 hours worth of work.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know. setting everybody up for success by just communicating and telling us thank you. And beyond that, you know, you got to, if you have to talk to them, don't do it in front of other people. It's just not healthy.
Another thing that I've tried is, and this is just recently, I was a bad, angry mechanic for way too long, but I've been trying to get to know the crew a little bit better. And just, you know, when they're coming through, whatever, talk to them a little bit, you know. And that's not really me. I'm not really a people person, believe it or not. I'm doing a podcast with other people, and I love hearing their story. But I don't, you know, I'd much rather work on a machine than talk to somebody, for the most part.
Because it's hard to fix people, Trent.
Yeah, it is. It's impossible. And I had a guy that worked with me, and I talk about him on the podcast all the time, Charlie Carr. He's a retired first sergeant, retired after 22 years. And he got me, it's a wooden wrench, and it says you can't fix stupid. And that's the truth. You can't fix it. You can try to mediate it a little bit, maybe, but you're not going to fix it.
Get ready for tips and tricks.
What kind of tips and tricks you want to share with us?
Oh, I'd think about that one. My part-time helper of the winter, he's amazed at this because he's never seen it. And it's pretty simple in my mind. But if you've got an extension spring, I use an old recoil pole starter rope. You know, loop the rope through the open end of the spring, pull it over and slide it on a little post or pulley you need to get it onto instead of using vice grips and pry bars and screwdrivers. He's like, man, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff, but I've never seen anybody use a recoil rope before.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's something so simple and kind of stupid, but
day. A good friend of mine, Kent Carson, he uses recoil string for everything. And when I say for everything, he keeps, I don't know how long it is. It's probably 4 feet, maybe 5 feet, wadded up in his pocket, like number four starter rope, just in case that he runs across something and needs to tie something down or, you know, I mean, whatever. It's handy having that. I once used some pulling electrical wire through metal conduit. That was when I put the conduit together. You know, that was the rope I had laying around.
That worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Another thing I like to do is I keep a couple pieces of aluminum angle iron next to my bench vise just for like a soft jaw, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of clamping thing. You can put put a shaft in there or threads. It doesn't bugger up the threads. Not too bad at all. Hardly at all, really. And so there's always a couple pieces of aluminum angle iron just hanging out in all the bench vises around here.
No, that's an excellent idea. Yeah, everybody needs to do something like that. And my blacksmith buddies, they have their vices covered with copper. And I don't know, it's probably, I don't know, it's not that thick. Maybe, you know, 16th inch. And you probably can buy these, but they just made them and it kind of hangs over the jaws of the vise. And, you know, because they don't want to mar anything when they're with high-end metalworking stuff. You don't want a bunch of vice marks all over it. And that's what they use. But like you, I've used the aluminum around the shop. And that's so handy to have. That's awesome. Any more?
You know, the welder can get a guy out of a lot of situations. But, you know, nothing too crazy. I like the air hammer thing. That's just back to that. I like that tool. It's so fun.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. Yeah, the sound it makes and all that stuff. Yeah, it's hard to beat. I remember as one of the podcasts, I think I was talking about how one of the worst sounds in the shop, far as tools go anyway, is an air ratchet. I don't know why. I don't like hearing them. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I don't miss them.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I got electric ratchets and stuff now, and I love them, but I said how much I dislike that. So Roland McPherson sent me a video of the air ratchet just running and the sound. I'm like, thanks, Roland. Appreciate you.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Those and air drills, man, I had a guy that used to, I worked at a John Deere dealer too for about a year. That's another story. But that the guy next to me in the service bay always ran his air drill. He didn't have any batteries. He was an old school dude.
Yeah.
And that air drill, oh God, if I never hear another one, I will die a happy man.
Yeah, they're worse than the ratchets. So yeah, terrible. I still have one in my toolbox at home here. And I don't know why. I guess I just don't want to throw it away. I'll never use it again. But it's there just in case. And I do think it's funny how much the industry's changed. And it's not just golf, but I think any, you know, mechanic would agree that all the electric stuff is really, really nice.
Oh, it's a game changer being able to go out into the field and or not tripping over cords and dealing with all that hoses. There's been some cool things that have come out. I mean, a lot of us probably have all this, you know, whether it be Milwaukee or DeWalt, and it's just hard to go wrong with any of those if you can pony up the money or get your boss to buy you some of that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely worth it. It might not be cheap, but it's worth it in my opinion. Just like you're saying, just not to have to drag a hose around the shop or an extension cord or, you know, whatever, tripping over it. And yeah, that's what you can say. Safety. That's why I need this, boss man. It's a lot safer to use. Well, let's talk about the Nebraska chapter of EMs and what y'all got going on there. I know Brian Eplin was kind of spearheading all that and taking the lead on it.
Yeah, Brian's done a absolutely fantastic job with getting it all put together. We had a little spring meeting here back in April to kind of go over with local mechanics what we want to cover in a good fall educational session. Had a pretty decent turnout for the spring, kind of just meet and greet roundtable, which was really good. We had our first ever EM field day. We actually hosted that in my shop last October. There was probably 30, 35 guys showed up for that.
Awesome.
And we didn't discriminate. If you were an assistant or a superintendent or a mechanic, you were more than welcome to come.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a huge thing. I know you probably saw it when you were back in your dealership days. You know, not every golf course has a mechanic. You might have a one-man show that, you know, sits on the sprayer, digs the holes, fixes the equipment, does the payroll. They do it all. So
right.
If we can, you know, help those guys out and other guys like ourselves to kind of all become better and, you know, focus on things we need to focus on, it's awesome. But it's something that I know Brian's done a lot of work with, and, you know, there's a couple of us that are not afraid to get out and teach a little bit in front of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So last fall when we did our thing, Brian went over some reels, you know, just kind of some real basics. We only had about 15 minutes of station time per station. Another technician from Lincoln, Mark, went over kind of the diesel particulate filter process and what's going on inside, what they look like inside, how do they work. I did a little real basic electrical testing with some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got some good dealer support from that as well. So Brian did a good job reaching out and got a guy to come in from Steel and talk to us about battery powered versus gas powered and how that transition can happen. And that was really interesting to listen to, even though probably nobody in that room is going to go out and buy 15 electric leaf blowers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen. We can't get away from it. So it was good to listen to that.
It's coming, whether we want it to or not, or however you feel about it. It's not going to be that much longer.
No.
And same thing, I've actually this week been looking for a new hover mower, and there's not really many out there now. And a friend of mine had recommended Bluebird. So I called Bluebird, and they're like, no, we discontinued it because we can't get the Honda engine. Because Honda stopped making that GCV 135 or whatever it was. And the Air Force from Seago International hover mower, they went to, I'm pretty sure it's a Chinese brand of engine on it, because they were using that same Honda and done away with it. But I think that's great what y'all are doing there. And I love I mean, this just makes my heart happy seeing more and more areas doing that. Ben Beard, he's doing stuff in Michigan. And I mean, you know, T-Tac's been around for a long time. And they got a lot of good things going on in the Carolinas. But it seems like it's happening more. And I don't know if it's just because I'm out here, out of my shell a little bit more. I hear about it more. But I don't think a lot of that was happening, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago.
No, I agree with you there, because even when I was traveling on the road, you'd run into guys and there just wasn't camaraderie is not the right word, but there was no really good meeting, gathering, just shooting the stuff out there amongst mm-hmm. guys. And then you heard a lot of the superintendents talk about the local chapter show, and they're like, gosh, you know, I wish we had something that was more mechanical related instead of what we have. So what, you know, I kind of feel like what we're doing is, you know, it's what they've been asking for. Now we're finally doing it and it's good stuff.
Oh, well, something I want to share here while we're on this. I sat in with the educational committee for my local chapter, and our chairman, superintendent, Mark Hayes, he attended Mike Rollins Cut Line Is King in Orlando. And he's like, we need to do that for the superintendents. So at the annual meeting, Mike Rollins is going to come and speak to the superintendents. And I just think that's the greatest thing ever. It's so awesome.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of superintendents do understand what we do, but there's a lot of superintendents that don't understand what we do.
I can agree with that to some extent, you know, and I've been fortunate to work for some good superintendents that do have an understanding, but mm-hmm. you know, if you dive that deep into it with a guy like Mike, you know, you could have the attention and you could lose a lot of people. It's like, whoa, slow down, back this up. You know?
Yeah. No, that's true. He might have to go, hopefully no superintendents get mad, but he might have to go a little bit slower for them. Since they're not living this stuff every day. But I just think it's great. And I love where the industry's going. And weren't you a Melrose recipient?
Yes, I was. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's talk about that experience and how much fun you had.
That was absolutely nuts, man. I tell you, if there's 24 hours in a day, I think we used 23 of them. It was busy and it was really good. Just the sheer amount of awesome people I got the opportunity to meet. I had no idea. I mean, it was incredible. Highly recommend if you have anybody that you know that might qualify for something like that, turn them on to it, get them going on it, because that's a great way to go to the show. And I learned a lot about what was, you know, not so much even the mechanical side of things. Like we spent some time with various groups and some meet and greets, and it was really good.
That's awesome.
Made some good friends. We just had a virtual Zoom happy hour amongst us on Sunday, 2 days ago.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So cool.
Little group of us got together and just, you know, had garage beers across the world. It was kind of fun.
That is so cool. No, I love it, man. I love it. Oh. And I do kind of think that's a trend, or it's something that happens, is the Melrose groups kind of stick together or at least stay in contact somewhat. So it's great that y'all are doing happy hours. That's so cool. I love it.
Yeah. There was talks. Do we do it quarterly? It's like, we should do it every other month. Like, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm down for happy hours in the garage. I'm cool with that.
So. Yeah. No, that's good. It's good stuff. Yeah. And I know we all want to do it as much as we could. We'd do it once a week if we could, but you know,
that's a little crazy, but
right. No, it's a stretch, but it is so enjoyable too. It's like the Twitter spaces that Seth Shelton always is on me about, let's do another Twitter space. And so finally I just carved out, it's the third Tuesday of the month. That is Twitter space night at 7 p.m. Because this is the way I am. I'm just so scatterbrained and ADHD, whatever, running around. You know, I can't focus on anything. If I don't set a date like that and just say, okay, this is what I'm doing, This is like recording this podcast. I record on Monday and Tuesday. So I leave my schedules open on Monday and Tuesday to record episodes.
Right, right.
And do some editing. Usually Sunday night I do editing if I'm trying to get an episode out that week. But it's kind of figuring yourself out, you know, like how do I have to plan or prepare to make stuff happen?
Yeah.
So anyway, you ready to do some rapid fire questions?
I do have one more tip or trick for you.
Okay. Bring it.
A while back, I got tired of switching out ends on the grease gun. So our local hydraulic shop had 1/8 inch NPT quick connects, almost like an airline style fitting.
Oh, okay.
But I want to say they're rated for 4,000 PSI. So not quite as high as a grease gun, but I mean, you don't really touch that unless you got a really gummed up fitting, but it makes it so easy to switch back and forth between the, you know, like right angle or the needle or the lock and lube.
No way.
Yeah. And if you,
you're going to have to share a picture of this or something.
I might have to pull out a tweet here. I don't think I've tweeted more than about once. To be honest with you, I should probably do a few things, but I don't.
Yeah. I mean, definitely any stuff like that. Share it, please, because it helps us all out.
It's, you know, say you get into it for $100 to $150, but if you got it on your manual and your electric grease gun, if you have one, then you just got these little 10 inch whips and you just switch back and forth to whatever you need. And it's pretty handy.
Yeah. No, that is super cool. Yeah. Cause I mean, I end up buying extra grease guns.
Yeah.
You know, so because I don't want to swap them back and forth. And then, you know, people get confused, you know, all that stuff. If anybody else is using it, I'm like, what grease is in this one? So, no, I love it. That's a great idea. Now you ready for some rapid fire?
I am ready.
Let's do it. What's your favorite movie?
For at work, I'd say Armageddon because, man, that's just a good quotable movie. When you're out there digging an irrigation hole on a hot day,
you start
throwing out quotes like, I will hit 800 feet. You know, it's just.
That's so good.
It's bad. I could probably quote that movie from start to finish just because it's stuck with me and I had a good time quoting it with another assistant I worked with in the past.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. What would be your last meal?
Oh, I'm a big fan of about any type of food, but I like seafood. I'd probably go with some scallops and a Modelo. We'll throw a Modelo in there too.
Okay. Awesome. Good deal. Yeah, I was really expecting meat and potatoes.
Well, you know, but, I wouldn't turn that down either.
Yeah, right. What's the old saying? You can call me a lot of stuff, but don't call me late for dinner or something like that.
Never been late for first or second supper, man.
No. That's right. That's good stuff. What are you most proud of besides your family?
Hang on, before you
start, let's give a shout out to your daughter that's 15. What's her name?
Jelena.
And what was she saying about dad? He's finally made the big times because he's on the Real Turf Text podcast or something.
Yeah, because I'll pick her up, you know, I'm waiting in line and she'll get in the truck and I'll be listening to it every once in a while. And she'll kind of listen a little bit and she'll go, Dad, you're such a nerd.
That's good.
And so she asked me on a Friday, she says, are you ever going to be on there? So I don't know. Hopefully someday. And then when you emailed me just a couple days later, I showed her the email and she goes, holy cow, you made it.
Yep. That's awesome. That's so cool. I never dreamed, obviously, starting this, that it would be a big deal, but I'm glad it is. And I hope your daughter enjoys listening to it and gets to make fun of you and all those good things that.
She does every chance she gets. I gave her a couple opportunities a day. So.
All right. Good deal. So now, sorry I interrupt you.
Oh, you're good.
What are you most proud of?
I would say just kind of like my progress throughout my career. I never really knew it would take me this far to where I am and doing what I'm doing and what I consider kind of a good high level. I wished I would have known that this was an avenue to be taken way back in the day. Because I kind of bounced around a little bit. Did I want to be an assistant or a soup, or did I want to be a mechanic? And just glad I stuck this out. Really, really happy that this is where I'm at in life.
Awesome.
Didn't change it for anything.
That's so good. And I mean, I know there's some grumpy golf course mechanics out there, but for the most part, you know, everybody you meet is down to earth, just good people.
Yeah.
And most of them enjoy what they do.
Yeah.
And if you don't enjoy it, find something else. Life's too short.
Yep. I mean, agree.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. Well, thank you so much, Jordan, for being on. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Trent.
It's good to cut up and laugh. And I'm sorry what I said about I don't really like people, because I do. And this is my favorite part of the podcast, is getting to connect with other people and share their story with the listeners.
Well, that was a great time, and we'll look forward to hearing from other folks as well in the future.
Thank you so much for listening to the Real Turf Techs podcast. I hope you learned something today. Don't forget to subscribe. If you have any topics you would like to discuss or you'd like to be a guest, find us on Twitter @RealTurfTechs. See you bye.